It is an honor and a privilege to stand before you tonight. Thank you very much for being a part of the opening night of Spiritual Enrichment 2018. David and Alan, thank you very much for your efforts in putting this enrichment on for a number of years. It was a privilege to work alongside you guys and also Justin. What we believe we have done with this year's Spiritual Enrichment is certainly hit on topics that are in our everyday world. I do want you to know that even though, and remind us all, that even though we live in this world, as we sang, is not our home. I appreciate the singing tonight. I appreciate Steve and I appreciate Jason and all those who will come before us and sing and lead us in singing. By the way, Jason played Major League Baseball, David. I don't know if y'all know that. He can do anything, right? Look at him. He's so embarrassed. He does a great job. He really does. But we want to be like the first century church, right? So we decided that we wanted to make it warm in here like it would have been in the first century. We're probably a little cleaner, you know, but we're close and we're warm. We have some technical difficulties with our air conditioner today, so appreciate your prayers on that as we move forward. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 55, please. Psalm 55, beginning in verse 1. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I'm overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred. Confuse them, Lord, and frustrate their plans. For I see violence and conflict in the city. Its walls are patrolled day and night against invaders, but the real danger is wickedness within the city. Everything is falling apart. Threats and cheating are rampant in the streets. It is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion and close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. This is not a psalm by someone whose author is unknown. You see, this psalm was penned by King David, a man who we know very well, a man who is after God's own heart, a man who struggled on occasion with sin, a man who tried to cover up that sin, a man who was broken, a man who penned those words after his friend reminded him that he was that rich man. And he begged God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore a right spirit within me. The reason I bring Psalm 55 to us today is because David was broken. He was a man who lived in the world just like you and me. He was a man who had temptations just like you and me. He was a man who had friends and they gathered together and they worshiped together just like you and me. He was a man who had enemies because he proclaimed to be a child of God just like you and me. But on this occasion, David was broken. He was broken by a dear friend, someone who he loved, someone he fellowshipped with, someone he walked with, someone he worshiped with. Why would I open up the spiritual enrichment series with a psalm like Psalm 55? Well, it's to remind us all that being broken is not a respecter of persons. You see, broken happens to lawyers. Broken happens to doctors. Broken happens to presidents, to CEOs, to mamas, to daddies, to children, to Christians, to preachers, to elders, to youth ministers, and everyone else. Broken doesn't care. Broken. What does it mean? Alcohol abuse means broken. Drug addiction means broken. Dealing with cancer means broken. A teenager battling anorexia, broken. Someone battling depression, day after day, broken. Having to file for bankruptcy, broken. Getting dumped by a boyfriend or girlfriend, broken. Getting divorced, broken. Having a parent not want you, broken. Struggling with sin, broken. I would venture to say that if we were to survey this entire crowd here tonight, everyone in here has been broken one way or the other. You've been broken by an enemy. You've been broken by a friend. Perhaps there are those who are in these pews tonight that have been broken by a Christian. Let's not kid ourselves. If the devil tried to break Jesus Christ, he's going to try to break us. Why? Because we live in a broken world. The great prophet, Rocky Balboa, said it this way. Let me tell you something you already know. I will not attempt his accent tonight. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are. It will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently. If you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. Someone that we respect a lot more, Jesus Christ, said it this way. In John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now I want to take that word tribulation just for a moment. And I want to remind you of what it literally means. If we pull that out of the Greek and we look at the word tribulation, it means to be under extreme pressure. Now, pressure is something that different people respond to in different ways. Some people can handle pressure, some people can't. But I believe with all my heart, with enough pressure, we all will have a breaking point. If the world is caving in on us, if the world is, and Satan is throwing things our way, tribulations our way, trials our way, sin and temptation our way, depending on how much we allow on us, that pressure can find its breaking point. Here's what I want you to know about pressure tonight, though. When we allow God to have our broken pieces, when we allow God to have our tribulation, when we allow God to have our pressures, beautiful things can and will happen. On the screen behind me, you will see a coal miner holding a piece of coal and a diamond in the other hand. That coal has been under pressure years and years and years, and it's been heated up and the carbon in it and everything else. And after a while, there comes a diamond. Tonight, there may be a bunch of coal pieces in here and you've been feeling the pressure. If we will just hang on, church, and we will just rally together, church, then God will lift us up and we will be beautiful. I went to the store today and found a couple puzzles. Actually, my wife found them. It's a Minion puzzle and a Guardians of the Galaxy puzzle. It has nothing to do with the lesson, the titles. But some people love to put puzzles together. My mother-in-law does puzzles with her grandchildren. It's a pretty special thing. They have a lot more patience than I do. These are 100-piece puzzles. I could probably do those. But what I want you to see in my hand, these pictures are whole. As I hold these puzzles and I show you, this is what they're supposed to look like. But in my hand, let me show you what happens to puzzle pieces. You see, when we hold on to the pieces, when we try to hold on and do it on our own, all we are a bunch of scattered pieces. Pieces that without a lot of help, we can't get back together. And we can't put them together. And we might get a piece and we might look and search and try to find, and we come up with two pieces and they still don't match. They still don't connect because we're connecting the wrong pieces. In my hands, in your hands, the puzzle is scattered everywhere. But in God's hands, He can take those pieces. He can very gently put them together. And tonight, God can make us whole again. You see, that's what this spiritual enrichment will be about. Being one, being whole in a messed up and broken world. In Genesis 3 and verse 9, God called Adam. You'll recall what happened in Genesis 3. God had formed man. He knew that man would be broken without a helper. So He put Adam to sleep and He took a rib from Adam's side and made woman. And of course, you know, when he opens his eyes thereabouts, this is kind of how I see it. You know, he's been naming those animals, trying to find a helper among those animals. He can't find one. Thanks be to God. And so we have woman, men, right? And he opened his eyes and he said, "Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The way I interpret that is, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And so God took them in paradise and He joined them together. And they were naked and not ashamed. And it was a beautiful thing. They were whole, but the devil slithered his way right into their life and they became broken. Once they broke that between God and themselves, they realized we are naked. They tried to cover themselves. They hid themselves. And in Genesis 3 and verse 9, God Himself said, "Where are you? Where are you?" You see, at that moment, at that cry, at that question, paradise was broken. The bond between God and man was broken. Hope was broken. Perfection was broken. Adam and Eve's lives were broken. So what would God do? He would send the only one who could pick up the pieces and put the picture back together. God uses our lives. He uses our broken pieces to help us get up, to help us move forward, to help us be what He wants us to be. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Is a passage of Scripture that we can see God at work. I know that throughout Scripture we can see God at work. We know that He inspired every word of this book. But in this chapter we can see the practicality of trusting God. We can see God take coal and make a diamond. We can see God as Habakkuk saw God in Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 17 through 19. If the stalls have no herds, if the crops have no field, if there be no olives on the olive tree, I will still trust in the Lord. I will find joy in Him because the Lord is my strength. Acts 27, let's read together beginning in verse 1. "When the time came, we set sail for Italy." Now we know Luke is penning these words, so he's talking about himself, but essentially we're getting to Paul here. "When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship." In order to understand a great Bible story, you have to see the picture. You have to see the scene. Paul's in trouble. Why? Because he taught in the name of Jesus Christ and they're trying to break him. Just like they were throughout Acts. They wanted to break them. So Paul is going to prison. In order to get there, they have to get on a ship. And they're going to sail. They're going to set out. Skip down to verse 7 with me. "We had several days of slow sailing. And after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us. So we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island past the Cape of Salmone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens." Now verse 9. "We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. Do you know what Paul was telling them? If we keep sailing and heading in this direction and heading out this way, we will be broken. Tonight, we are on a ship and we're sailing. We're either sailing to heaven or we are sailing to hell. But along the way, as we sail, as we ride, as we coast, there's going to be waves, there's going to be storms, there's going to be trouble. There are going to be times, because Jesus said it, we're going to be under extreme pressure. We're going to be broken. Paul told them, you're going to be broken. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than he did to Paul. Now verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. You know what they're doing? They're trying to put their puzzle together piece by piece. They're trying to do it on their own. But the weather changed abruptly. Isn't that how it goes? It's like a roller coaster at a theme park. You're shot out of a tunnel and everything seems great. You're just going fast and all of a sudden they drop you. They twist you. They turn you upside down. They may even send you backwards. That's how life is. It changed abruptly. And wind of a typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. How many people tonight on our ship as we sail in this world, how many people are giving up? You see, because there's somebody right now struggling. There's somebody, whether you're here tonight or there's somebody in your church home, there is somebody struggling. They're struggling with the things we mentioned earlier. They're struggling in their relationship. They're struggling at their job. They're struggling with loving themselves. How many of us are saying, I just give up? We sailed along, verse 16, the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Sirtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. How many people are struggling today and they're throwing this overboard and they're throwing that overboard. I'm trying to get rid of this. God, I gave up this. What's going on? Why am I still struggling? One of our church families recently, a young man thought all hope was gone. They're hurting. A family's hurting. A church family's hurting. all hope is not gone. But sometimes it seems that way. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete." Point taken, Paul. "You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down." For last night, an angel visited him. Verse 26, "But we will be shipwrecked on an island." He told them, as long as you'll hold on, as long as you will ride it out, and you will not lose faith, yeah, the ship's going to wreck. It's going to be trouble. But we're not going to die. Isn't that what Jesus said? In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have extreme pressure. Your life will be a bunch of broken pieces from time to time. But if you will trust in me, I have overcome the world. Paul said it. If you will just trust in God and trust in me, because an angel visited me and told me to say these things, I can tell you, you won't lose your life. Tonight, we can't make a promise that we won't have trouble. We won't be broken. We won't be scattered in pieces. But we can make a promise that if we'll just hold on, everything's going to be all right. Let's see how the rest of the story finishes up. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line, found that the water was 120 feet deep. A little later, they measured again, found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore, so they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. The sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to them, to the commanding officer and soldiers, "You will not die unless the sailors stay aboard." So they cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. Skip down to verse 39. When the morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. They lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward shore. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. Here it is. They're broken. They're on a ship that's no longer able to stay afloat. They're on a ship that has run aground, and now it's being beaten by the wind, it's being beaten by the waves, and it is breaking apart. Is that your life tonight? Is it someone's life you know tonight? What do you do in that situation? What do you tell them? You tell them what Paul said. You tell them what God said. Hold on. Just hold on. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make it for land. The others held on to planks or debris from the broken ship. So everyone escaped safely to shore. What did God do with the broken pieces? Could God have spared that ship? Certainly He could have, because He's God. But we must remember that it's not God who sends the evil. It's not God who sends those cloudy, dark days. The devil's the prince of this world. And he is going to try and get you off course and me off course, and sometimes he succeeds. And sometimes we're on that ship and death hits and another piece breaks off. Cancer hits, another piece breaks off. Bankruptcy hits, another piece. Divorce, my kids, everything going on, and it breaks completely apart. What do you do then? God, where are you then? He said, take a look around you. You know what wood does? It floats. Our God is so amazing. He can take those broken pieces and allow us to grab hold and allow us to float to safety. Christ gave blind Bartimaeus his sight. He dried up the woman's disease. In Mark 5, he calmed the storms in the disciples' lives. He cast Satan out of Legion. He saved his mother embarrassment at the wedding feast. He gave the adulterous woman hope. He helped Zacchaeus feel special. He filled the nets of some struggling fishermen. He picked up the pieces of a broken relationship with his father and built a bridge for each and every one of us by giving his own life on the cross. Tonight, your life may be broken to pieces. You may have gotten on your Christian boat and thought everything was going to be smooth sailing. I am sorry, but that is just not the case. The Christian life is by far the best life. But the devil knows that. And he's going to try to get us off course. He's going to fill our boats. He's going to break it apart. But instead of sinking, instead of drowning, instead of giving up all hope, take a hold of the broken pieces and allow God to bring us home. The lyrics of a popular hymn read like this: bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years, He will restore. And your iniquities, remember no more. Tonight, if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you need to jump aboard, to get out of a drowning pool of sin, Christ has sent the lifeboat for you. Tonight you can be whole. Tonight you can be saved. Tonight you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. But I would guess in tonight's crowd, the majority have done that. So instead, let me talk to you just for a moment. Maybe you came because the title interests you. Maybe you came because this is what you always do at every spiritual enrichment. Or maybe you came tonight because you're broken. The ship that you've been riding on is coming apart. It's filling up with every awful thing you can imagine. It's just a bunch of broken pieces. Tonight, don't forget that God will not put anything on us beyond what we're able to handle. Tonight, there's a peace floating by. Tonight there's a hand outstretched. Tonight there's a Savior who loves you this much. Won't you decide to bring Him your broken life as together we stand and sing?